You ever thought through, or reflected on what it means to be lonely? Now, loneliness is a very interesting experience because it's something that we experience and something that all we want to do is get out of it and get unlonely, I guess, and stop feeling lonely. But exactly what is loneliness? And why? What is it that it's saying to us when we're lonely? What can you learn? Is there anything to be learned from being lonely? And that is what I'd like to spend today on. Is there anything to be learned from being lonely? And if God is everywhere, where is He in my loneliness? Where is God in my loneliness? And is there a possibility that He might be trying to use my loneliness to teach me something? The reason I started to meander and go down to this topic is because of the seemingly confusing sentences that Jesus utters. Do you notice the sentences about "I am in you and you are in me and remain in me and I remain in you and you remain in me, and unless my words are a part of you, you do not remain in me"? And it goes on and on like that. And I think we've heard them so many times that we sort of go, "Oh well, I don't understand that one, but okay, we'll move on." But I think there is at least some, and I don't claim to understand this, but I think there is some partial insights that might help us a little bit, because you see, I think there is a connection between all that language about remaining in me and I in you and you in me that is also connected to loneliness. And I think that it would be important for us to reflect on it a little bit. And so, before I get going on it, I apologize. I apologize because I'm trying to think through this. And sometimes when I talk about things that I'm trying to think through, you kind of have to interpret the homily like you would a collage. You know, sometimes my homilies can tend to be very logical, but this one is much more of a collage. You have to kind of look at the different parts and see if you see a picture emerging. So exactly what is loneliness? And when do you feel lonely? And there's a difference, first of all, between being alone and being lonely. But in both situations, you are alone. Well, actually, no. See what I mean? Being alone and being lonely, you can be alone without being lonely. Now, what does that mean? My experience is that when you're alone without being lonely, is that inside your mind and heart, you are operating from an interior connection to others that you love and that love you. The way that I experience it working is this. When I have touched base with somebody I love and had a satisfying conversation, or just for some reason, in some way, they communicated that they loved me. And we were able to, without saying I love you or anything like that, the affirmation of there's somebody else in this world who cares about me. Somehow, that person is inside me. That person's love is inside of me. And I, even if I'm alone, and the person that I'm seeing, that I am talking about, maybe thousands of miles away, they are inside of me. They are present to me. And so the experience of having someone inside of you really shouldn't be that strange, because we do it all the time. Every time you feel, we talk about feeling connected to someone. It's when you feel like they are inside of you and you trust and believe that you are inside of them. And so from my the experience of loneliness is the experience of either doubting or not having some kind of a connection that you can believe in, that somebody's inside of you that cares. And so you feel alone. Not because you are alone, but because no one's inside of you that you think cares about you. I think that's the way it is. Now, I hope that wasn't too confusing, but I'll press on. I find that kind of description very similar to the way that we understand God, the Trinity. You ever thought about the fact that what I just said basically says that inside of you there's got to be others that love you? Even though you're a person alone, you're not one person. I mean, you're one body, you're one self. But there's more than you inside you. Because inside of you, you feel loved by another or by others. And so they dwell inside of you. How is it that we understand the Trinity? The Father, and Jesus says it, I and the Father are one. I am in him and he is in me. And they talk about the Holy Spirit who will come from me, and he will tell you everything that he knows of me. When we describe God, we're constantly describing individuals, which is the three persons, but they are dwelling inside of each other. And isn't it interesting that that's exactly who we are? That we are individuals, but we're lonely without other people dwelling inside of us. That's what the word communion means. I sometimes ask little kids, I say, do you live in communion with your parents? And of course, at first, people only think of communion as receiving communion. But take the word, common union. Do you live in common union with anyone? Meaning, in other words, is there anybody else inside of you? Is there anyone? I'll use a dangerous word here. Possessed. Now, I'm not talking about being possessed by someone negative like the devil. But do you possess another, and does another possess you? Or in other words, are you inside someone else and they inside you? Which is what takes away loneliness. That is exactly what takes away loneliness. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? Since physically, I can tell you, some of the people that I love, very close to me, they live very far away from me. And I don't see them very often. But how come they're inside of me all the time? And how come their presence in me keeps me from being lonely? So it's not about being close to me, even though I enjoy seeing them. But somehow, the person, our persons, go beyond the flesh. So that you can be in common union with someone and be living in them and them in you, someone who's thousands of miles away, because a distance does not seem to matter. The extension of the body does not seem to stop living inside another. Now, I find this fascinating, because my brother Fernando, bless his heart, he's always said to me, Mario, I asked you what time it was. I didn't ask you for the history of the development of the clock. But this is just the way my brain thinks. You know, I want to know why. Now, here's the next part of this. We are created in God's image and likeness. Do you see the similarity here? Do you see the similarity between the God that we understand or trust or exists, the God of the Trinity? You've got Father inside the Son, Son inside the Father, and the love between them, the Spirit. Do you see any similarity between what our faith says and who we are? And I think you ought to. It's also very interesting, and I'm not going to go down this road too much, but that the creative process, the way we human beings participate in the creation of each other, involves being inside each other physically. It's what we call making love. It's a very interesting thing that out of union comes a being. It's very similar to the way that we talk about the Holy Spirit being the result of the union of the Father and the Son. Not in terms of, somebody said the other day, oh, so you're saying the Father married the Son and had a baby? No. All we're saying is that the way that we are created, the way that we are lonely, the way that we are rescued from loneliness, and the way that God created even our bodies seems eerily similar to the way that we have come to understand God. Now, I would propose to you that God, Jesus, have to become part of that interior presence that is in you. Now, let me kind of unpack this a little more. When Jesus says, ask for... let me quote it. That's why I brought this. Listen to this. And listen to this in the context of what I just said. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. Now, that's why a lot of times people get all frustrated and say, okay, Jesus, I want to win the lottery in Jesus' name. That's not what this means. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, let me ask you this. Whose words remain in you? Whose words remain in you? Inside your head, there's constantly talking. And those ideas are not original. They come from different places. Commercials, novels, concepts, all kinds of TV shows, all kinds of things that you've heard. You don't remember anymore. But they all contributed stuff to the interior dialogue that's going on inside of you. And you remember stuff. You see something and you go, ah, I remember this. And you connect. You connect this stuff to that stuff. Oh, yeah, I remember him. And he was with, and she was wearing, and all of this. You're able to make connections. Those connections come from memories that you had of stuff that you experienced or somehow got into your brain. Your brain is filled with words, ideas, images. If you remain in me, and here comes the kicker, and my words remain in you. How did Jesus... That was God saying, good job, Mario. Okay. How do their words get in you? Jesus just said, if you remain in me, and my words remain a part of you. How does a person's words, and remember, here's the kicker to this. Jesus, in the beginning of the Gospel of John, is the Word. So whenever you hear the words of Jesus, the Word himself is entering your body and making a home in your mind. But go back. How do the words that are in your mind, how did they get in there? And the reason we don't remember is because, you hear that little baby? Okay. The first time a word got into his mind, mama, that word got into his mind because people kept saying it to him and he kept listening. And all of the words that are in your mind originally got in there because you heard them somewhere and they became part of your internal vocabulary. Think it through. How did Jesus' words become a part of you? They become a part of you when you pay attention to them and you read them over and over again, and somehow they get in your head. I have this experience regularly because I hope with God's grace and his forgiveness of my sins, that God has been shoving his words in me for a long time. I have the experience regularly of seeing a human situation, and when I see the human situation, immediately my head connects it to something Jesus said. And then what happens is I interpret what's happening before me from the perspective of what Jesus said. His words have been so burned into my mind that I tend to begin to interpret the things that happen in life from the perspective of his words. I hope daily that his words become more and more a part of me, so that as I live my life, I can interpret my life the way that he would interpret his life, because his words have become a part of me. And in the Eucharist, I receive him. Do you see what's happening here? That by hearing the Word of God and by experiencing the Eucharist, Jesus, the presence of Jesus, begins to live more strongly as the dominant person inside of you. And the dominant person inside of you, you live in common union with them. And I find that the more he is the dominant person inside of me, he is connected to everybody else that I love. And I find my experience of love is broadened because he brings connections that I could never have by my own self. And so here you have this whole thing. I living in you, you living in me, and that is how you bear much fruit. That is how your love life expands. Your love life expands because slowly God begins to be the dominant person inside of you. And all the connections begin to be reset the way that He would like them to be reset. Whenever you see, for example, love that is possessive or love that is, you know, we have psychological names for them these days. We call them codependencies. We call them puppy love. We call them all kinds of different kinds of love. Those are connections that the human being wants to have, but they are infected, sort of. And what needs to happen is that when Jesus becomes the dominant person inside of you, all of those connections begins to be rewired. And you are rewired to other people in the way that God intended you to be rewired. Okay. I see you out there going, there it is. That's all I got today. I hope some of it made sense. Just next time you're lonely, just don't run away. Don't run away. I'll finish with one last experience. Many years ago, almost 20 years ago, before I ever came to St. Cyril's, I had my day off on Thursdays. And on Thursdays, nobody's around during the day. And so I left the rectory and I went and thought, okay, I'll go get a cup of coffee at a Starbucks. So I got to the Starbucks and I began drinking coffee, sitting there in one of those big chairs and reading. About 11:30, maybe 12:30, I was up to here with coffee. But I didn't have anywhere to go and no one to go see. I felt lonely. I felt lonely. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go eat, which is why you see that I have this problem. Because I have in the past dealt with loneliness through this. But I wasn't hungry. That was before I was diabetic and I had a couple of pieces of some rolls or some bread. I wasn't hungry. I said, okay, so I'm not hungry. Okay, I'll go and go see a movie. So I opened the paper. There was no internet in those days. There wasn't anything I was interested in. So I thought, oh, what the heck, I'll go see this one. And so I went out to my car and I think it was like November. It was cool. I went to my car, turned on my car, and before I put the car into gear, I remember something inside of me said, "Why are you running?" Now, there are times when I hear stuff inside of me that's just me. There are times that I hear something inside of me that I think, oh, this is no good. But this one seemed to have a sense of weight. And it just asked me the question, why are you running? And I remember saying, I was sitting inside the car. And I remember saying, I don't know. I'm lonely. I'm lonely. And somehow, I came to the conclusion that I was going to the show for the wrong reason. That I was running from my loneliness. I remember that day. It's one of the memories that will never leave me. I remember that day. I turned off the car. And inside of me, I heard myself say, "You're not moving from here until you actually know what you want." Folks, I sat in that car. Thanks be to God, it was November and it was cool. I sat in that car for 2.5 hours. I still have one memory. A bird. A bird came and landed on my hood. And he came up and he stared at me. And I stared back. The both of us stared at each other for about 5 minutes. I'll never forget that bird. It's the most important bird of my life. And then he flew off. For some reason, then about 2 or 3 hours later, I remember my stomach growled. And I said, "Ah, hunger." And then I left. But it was the first time that I heard, "Why are you running? Being lonely is not going to kill you. You don't have to run away from the pain of being lonely." And isn't that what a lot of us do? We take drugs, we drink, we work, we chatter and go out and talk to people. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. You end up with all kinds of junk you don't need. And why? Because you were lonely. Anyway, this time it's really the end. Think it through.